She did enough preaching, probably have an altar call. But well, I hope all of you young people in here heard what she said. Just for clarification, she wasn't bragging on the fact that she's waited till now to do God's will. She wasn't bragging that she waited till now in her life. Matter of fact, over and over again, she said, "I regret it. I wish I'd have started then." And it's great. I'm Miss Hickey, man. That's a blessing, man. That fires me up. But I'm just young people, kids, teenagers. Listen, you hear what she said tonight. Hear what she said. Amen. If you would, turn to Esther chapter 4. And by the way, parents, I have they have a new rock climbing wall there at Triple S this year. And they have paintball. And I have some release forms for you guys to take home with you. So if you see me after church, I'll get those to you. Esther chapter 4. For time's sake, we're going to read starting in verse 10. We'll read to the rest of the chapter. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for how good you are to us. Lord, I'm humbled to stand up here and open your word. And Lord, I'm more humbled to be able to preach to your people. I pray, God, that my thoughts would be clear tonight. And Lord, that the message would be very clear. And Lord, not that we hear another message tonight, but that you change our lives because of what we hear tonight. I pray, God, that you'd move in a mighty way. Lord, even if it's just in me, I pray you'll work in my heart and life through the message. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Verse 10 says, "Again Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's province do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. They told to Mordecai Esther's words, and then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" I'd heard a message last week, and the title of the message was "For Such a Time as This." And I knew what I was going to preach tonight, and the Lord kept provoking thoughts to my mind. And I thought back. Esther here had a problem. Esther was faced with standing up for her people, for her God. Esther was in a situation like we are daily. Esther was making excuses why she could not go to the king. And they were pretty valid. She might lose her life. And with this thought tonight, I just want to give you an introduction. A while back, I was flipping through the channels and on the TV, and there was a talk show on with a family, a dad, a mom, and a son. As I started to turn the channel, I noticed the caption on the bottom of the screen that the son was coming out of the closet. And his dad had disapproved greatly The dad said that he could not accept his son being a homosexual. By the way, they're not the message tonight, but he had it right. Amen. The mom and the host and the crowd began to boo the father. And as the host did, there for the few seconds I watched, the host tried to convince the father to accept the son the way he is. The son began to make outlandish comments such as, "This is the way I was born," and "I found out this later on in life." And by the way, that's not true. It's definitely a choice. But I shook my head in disappointment to see what our world is coming to. But one comment that the young man made that really stuck with me was this: "I've been hiding this a long time. I need to stop living this charade and be who I really am." I began to think on that statement in light of the message I had heard last week. And I noticed that we had the same condition and problem with Christianity today. The problem is growing worse and worse. And the problem is very similar to this boy who was a homosexual and living a double life. And had one life with one crowd and a life with another crowd. I think part of that they brought out some girlfriend he supposedly had. And I think to myself, we can't criticize him because that's exactly the way we live our Christian life. I know, man, we love the fact that we're saved. We love the fact that we get to go to heaven. We love having the assurance of salvation. We love our church. We love talking about church and about things that pertain to God when we're here. But all of a sudden, something happens. Monday morning, we switch to a different lifestyle, if you will. Possibly ashamed of what others might think, of how living this Christian life might portray us. Living like the world does, talking like they do, dressing like they do, listening to the music that they do, telling the jokes that they do, having the same views of authority and respect that they do, and all in all are as much worldly as they are. We want to keep our Christian life a secret. We don't want to push our Christianity on others. We don't want to put pressure on people because, after all, we might offend them. But can I tell you this tonight, something that we need to do? We need to come out the closet. It's time.
Amen.
It's time to come out the closet. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about some homosexual lifestyle. I'm talking about the closet of our Christianity. I'm talking about the closet where we only talk about this lifestyle and we only act a certain way and we only dress a certain way when we're around certain people. And we do the same thing out in the world. We think of it differently. Can I tell you tonight that although they say they were born that way, they weren't, but we were born that way. We were born again by the precious blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And when we were born again, as it says in the book of Acts, we became of this way. When will we be tired of living this charade of a lie, hiding who we really are, living in the closet of fear, to dwell in the worldliness that's around us? It's time tonight to come out of the closet. Esther was in her queenly closet. And listen, I'm not knocking Esther. Esther was a godly woman. But she faced something. By the way, not only did she face it, but she was victorious. But we face this thing from day to day. We face this thing of being able to speak out about our Savior, to be able to speak out about our God, to be able to proudly say, hey, I am a King James Version only Bible-toting, soul-winning, hellfire-preaching Baptist Christian. Yes, I dress right. Yes, I listen to the right kind of music. Yes, I go to church every time the doors are open, if you do. And yes, I'm a soul winner. Yes, I tell others about Jesus. Yes, I'm going to live a modest lifestyle. Yes, I'm going to be a godly example in my thoughts, in my words, in my deeds. I'm going to live that way because I know that others are looking at me. And if they can look at me and see Jesus, it might just point them to Him. But we're scared of that. It's time to come out the closet tonight. It's time to come out the closet. Look here in verse 11 again. Look at Esther's excuse. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king in the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out a golden scepter. She said, Mordecai, what if he don't hold the scepter out to me? What if he don't give me access to come to talk to him? Later on, you see, she says, if I perish, I perish. And what we face is, what if my friend at school, what if he laughs at me, and what if she don't like me, and what if I lose friends? And the same goes for adults at work and our neighbors and the people around us. What if they laugh at me, and what if they mock at me, and what if they tell me I'm a Bible thumper and I'm a goody two shoes? So what? So what? The worst that could happen is you end up dead and in heaven. We're so concerned about the fashions and trends of today. We're so concerned about all the many distractions that we have around us. Just like Preacher preached this last week, we don't take time to get power from God. We don't take time to walk with God. We don't take time to get a hold of God and get His presence in our life. We don't take that time to have sweet communion with Jesus. Therefore, we don't have the strength to step out in this world. That's why we stay in our closet. You in the closet tonight? Hey, are you in the closet tonight? It's time to come out. It's time to come out. Teenagers, it's time to come out and step up for God. Adults, it's time to step out and come out and step out for God and say, hey, yes, I was born again. I was born this way. Hey, I am a Christian. I am saved. I do belong to God. My body is not mine, it's His. And this is not my life, it's His life. Amen. Time to come out the closet tonight. Number one, we need to stand for our Master. Come out the closet at night and stand for your Master. The truth is you stand for your Master already. The problem you might face is, who is your Master? Let me let that sink in just a second. The Bible says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Hey, you come out the closet, there's freedom. There's joy. Man, there's peace. And there's Spirit-filled living. I don't have to battle all the rules. I don't have to battle all the boundaries that are put on me. No, I live in freedom in Christ. And I love Jesus. And I'm going to serve God. None of this stuff fazes me. You know why? I'm serving God. I'm on fire for Him. Hey, I belong to Jesus. But if you're in the closet, you have a hard time saying that. Oh, here? Yeah, I love Jesus. Yeah. We love Jesus. Amen, preacher. As soon as you step back, you, in your car, you turn on your worldly, carnal music. Light up. Who's your master? Hey, who's your master? Are you going to stand up for the one who bought you? Or are you going to stand up for the one that's entangled you? You might be a teenager tonight and say, hey, I don't have no addictions. Yeah, you do. You have your foolish pride. It's all about me. Are you going to let your pride be your master? Hey, man, I'm begging God. I'm praying to God that God give us some young people fired up for God that are willing to stand on a street corner and preach. I don't care if they're called to preach or not. That don't mind standing out here and singing, man, and don't mind getting up and giving testimonies. That don't mind when the preacher says something good. Just go ahead and shout amen once or twice. I'm praying for that. I don't like being dead. I hate being dead. And the reason possibly could be maybe our young people, the children, one of the reasons they fall asleep in church, maybe one of the reasons they have a hard time paying attention is because we've got adults that can't come out the closet.
Amen.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
It's truth. We need to be bold as Christians. Standing up no matter who or what problems come. Well, we sure don't mind arguing over the best ball team and the best sports out there and the best celebrities and the best singers out there and the best fashions of today and the best whatever. Why not learn how to shout the victory over the blood? Why not stand up and just let it rip sometimes? Why not have a fit in your seat sometime over what God's done for you?
Amen.
Yeah, listen, we cannot remain dead. Or we're going to fall out. We're going to quit on God. We're going to get back in the closet. Hey, we need some men and ladies that are going to stand up, come out the closet, and get a hold of God for something or somebody. Hey, it's our choice, obviously. Obviously, preacher can't, you know, drag you to church. He's been begging and fighting and pleading and wanting somebody to do a bus route. And just, I know he said, you worried about tied up your Saturdays and Sundays. So what? What else are you going to tie them up with? I guess I'm just that way. Hey, I serve a God that's worth it. I serve a God that's commanded me to serve Him. When will we lose ourselves in God so much that we stand for Him no matter what? We're so afraid of what we might have to give up or put down in order to serve God. But you heard it tonight. Branch manager of a bank, right, Miss Man? I'm sure she wasn't broke. Hey, she said all that was vain. All that is emptiness. I don't mean to keep coming, but God knew what's going on tonight. Hey, we're fixing to go to camp. Fixing to take our teens and our juniors to camp. How many of you been on your face begging God to change their life? You know why you can't do that? Because you'd have to beg God to change your life. And you couldn't come out the closet long enough to do that. You got to hold on to everything. Well, it's my show on Thursday night. You know, you're telling us who your master is. First of all, we need to come out the closet. We got to stand for our master. Number two, we need to submit to our master. We're going to come out the closet. It's a form of submission. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. What's that mean? I don't care what my neighbors are doing. Thursday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I don't care what my friends are doing. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. I don't care what anybody else is doing around me. I don't serve men. I serve God. You know why? I'm going to submit to my master. Because I'm bought. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you're bought with a price. By the way, that price was the cost of his own son. Have you really thought about that? Have you really thought about what that price was? Have you really, really considered? Have you really considered that God, Almighty God, Creator of the world, God, sent His own Son? Only His own Son. There wasn't an angel up there. There wasn't some predecessor or king or anybody up there that could do that. He sent His own Son to go through agony and torture, being mocked and ridiculed, through enormous amounts of pain. And He says, hey, I'd like you to run a bus route. Oh, I can't do that. My Saturdays are tied up. I might have to be up here too late on Sunday afternoon. But I died on the cross. I shed my blood. I sent my only son down there to be beaten and mocked of men. You can't spend a few hours on for me on the weekend? Well, Brother Russell, I go to church. We're supposed to do that. We're supposed to. How about serving Him? How about submitting to your master? The one who bought you. The one who paid your price. You know, when God tells you to do something and you don't do it, you're stealing from God. You know why? Because you've been bought. You don't belong to Him. And when you take yourself away from Him and you give it to something else, you're stealing from God. The whole matter of submission is a total reliance on God. When we don't submit to Him and His Word, it is stating that we do not trust Him to do what He said He would do. That's submission. I'm allowing Him free reign in my life. I will do whatever, whenever, and at any cost. That's submission. I got to learn this too. Hey, don't get me wrong. I fight the same battle you do. I'm just flesh and blood. I'm telling you what's right tonight. I'm telling you what's right out of the Bible. Hey, when are we going to submit to our master? Who's your God tonight? Some it's sports. Some it's money. Some it's popularity. I'm amazed at what some of the teenagers will give away for popularity. Shame on you. We don't even realize tomorrow you're not going to be popular. Something else and something new will be popular. I get it. I've been there. I was a teenager. We need to submit to our master. If the man of God says for something for me to do, I will submit. Why? Not because I want to please my pastor, although I do want to please my pastor. Not holding him up as far as being a man above anybody else. His office is definitely something to be held up. But as long as my pastor is following God, I'm submit to him. No matter what. And believe me, sometimes that's not easy. Because I have my own will. I like things my way, just like we all do. When the Holy Spirit and God or a pastor says, hey, you don't need to be doing this, or you, hey, I need somebody to do this. Man, shame on us. You submit to something. You stand for something. Why don't you come out that closet tonight and stand for God? Why don't you come out that closet tonight and submit to God? Teenagers, children, the best thing you could do before we even go to camp, come out the closet. Hey, you were born that way. Number three, come out the closet tonight. We need to provide service to our master. Not only we need to stand for our master, submit to our master, but service to our master. Romans 6:16, know ye not. Listen, this is important. That to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are. You're obeying your will tonight. You're obeying self. In verse 19 it says, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. In verse 13 it says, part of the verse there says, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. You know what God's telling us there? Hey, come out the closet. Be alive for me. Preacher's right. I watched it. I mean, I watched it, and sure enough, the same night he preached it, it happened. As soon as the final amen, boom. It's like some rocket goes off in your backside. I mean, all of a sudden, the teenagers get happy and active, and we're going to throw the ball, and the adults are all chattering and smiling and laughing. Then you go from... you go back to the preaching, and it's like, hey, come out the closet. Hey, let's get fired up for God. Hey, we got a job to do. Hey, we have a cause. We got something to be fired up about. Hey, we've been washed in the blood, haven't you? You've been saved, haven't you? Hey, have you been born again? Maybe that's the problem. If you got somebody that saved you, you'd be excited about them. Are you ashamed to say amen? Come on, I'm just telling you tonight. There's a lot of things going on in my mind right now. But I'm going to stay off of that. I'm going to tell you, we got to start. How is it ever going to be exciting to the ones behind us if it's not exciting to us? We want, if I had a dollar every time I heard this, I'd be a millionaire. Hey, I remember when I was in the youth department when I was a teenager. And man, no, whatever. Yeah. Problem is now you still don't have that same fire. You're just too grown up to be excited for God. No, man, what would happen if Meemaw took off with a hanky around the church, man? Hey, somebody might get fired up a little bit. What happened to one of these teenage boys just stood and held the Bible in the air and said, amen, preacher.
Amen. That's right.
Standing like a bump on the log. Sitting there like they're going through a torture chamber.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, what's wrong with that? You know why you don't get nothing out of the service? Because you don't put nothing in it. The reason they're boring to you is you don't participate. You come and sit there, you'll stand up with your songbook and you'll look at it and mouth the words, and then you'll sit back down, and then you'll stand back up again and mouth the words, and then sit back down, and then we have handshaking, and then we take the offering and you sing, and then you sit back down, and oh boy, whew, 45 minutes, I hope. 30 minutes if we're lucky tonight. Oh man. Have the invitation. Amen. Woo! We get to go now! Hey, what if you came in like that? Yeah. I wonder what our service would be like. Hey, we get to come to church. Woo! How's that go, Brother Ray? Show us how to do that, Brother Ray.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah! That's right. What if we came into service like that? What if we got a little fired up coming in? What if we were singing our song service fired up? What if we had our prayer service fired up? What if our offering was fired up? What if our specials were fired up? What if our whole church was on fire? Well, hey, we couldn't put enough people in here. We couldn't have enough room on this property. Why? Because when they come here, they see people excited and on fire and ready to do something for God. Instead, we sit on our pews and we just marinate or something. I don't know what you're doing. We just sit there. Oh yeah, amen, preacher. We might get some excitement if we learn how to get excited. Instead of preacher bashing or our youth director bashing, go home and talk about the message. What God spoke to your heart about. You teenagers getting on fire for God. Actually follow along in your Bible. And man, when you hear something good, amen, brother, amen. Yeah, but you worried about what your neighbor's going to say. You worried about what somebody behind you might laugh at you. Man, hey, listen, let me tell you. All that laughing, let me show you something. 10 years down the road, that stuff ain't going to matter. You get on fire for God now, 10 years down the road, you'll be blowing past people. I tell the teenagers all the time, if they get on fire for God now, if they'll start serving God now, they'll be able to do more for God than preacher has, or I have, or any adult in this room has. But they got to start now. They got to turn their life over to God now. They got to let Him have it all now. Hey, adults, why not let's show them how to do it and go ahead and give them all now and show them how to do it right now and stand up for God now and serve God now and submit to God now. Hey, it's time to come out the closet tonight. Hey, I'm preaching me too. Hey, I got to start. I got to get excited about things of God. His mercies are new every morning. Praise God.
Yes, amen.
Hey, teenagers, you don't have to wait till you're old to come back. You can go ahead and stay here. I tell you, Miss Janice, that was rich. I've experienced that. I grew up in a Christian school, Christian home. Praise God, He brought me back. Time to come out the closet tonight. You think you're hiding something. That's what's funny. But we can see by whatever you serve who your master is. If you serve your sports, that's your master. If you serve your sinful habits, you're smoking and drinking, pornography or cussing or whatever you do. I said cussing. Yeah, that's right. It's wrong. It's sin. Using foul language, that's a sin. I don't care if you're around men or mixed or... It's wrong. But if you serve God, we also see who your master is. Not only do we need to stand for our master, submit to our master, serve our master, lastly, we need to separate to our master. Boy, people don't like that word. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Let me put that so you can understand it. If they're lost, if they don't follow after God, you shouldn't be having fellowship with them. That's tough. I know it. I know it's tough. That means family. I got family I can't fellowship with. I love them. I'll talk to them. I'll say hi to them. But I can't fellowship with them. You know why? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Hey, young people, that friend don't go to church. That friend ain't saved. You don't need that friend. You're to be nice to him, and you're to be a witness to him, and a testimony to him. I'm not talking about being stuck up snobby to him and thinking you're better than they are, because you're not. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be in the same pit they are. But I'm talking about being separate. Separate. Noticeably different. Noticeably. I mean, people ought to notice, just in case you don't understand that. Noticeably. What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? I like what God says here in verse 17. You ready? Wherefore? Come out! Come out! Amen. Come out! From among them. And be ye separate! That's what he blesses. That's what he wants. We view separation as so many negatives. But truth be told, if we would come out of the closet for God, if we would yield to him, separation would never, ever be an issue. But it's like we spoke of before. With whom you serve, that's who you separate to. I got teenagers that tell me, hey, Brother Russell, you have these rules for us. But I see these people in the church doing what you tell us not to do. What am I supposed to do with that? I mean, would we all agree that we want to see our young people, our teens and our children grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and learn how to be able to stand for right and learn how to have a separated cause for Jesus Christ? I mean, wouldn't we want that? Preacher can't tell me what to wear. He can't tell me what music to listen to. Oh yeah, you're right, he can't. But the Holy Spirit of God ought to be telling you. Hey, I tell people all the time, listen, I can't tell you what the Holy Spirit wants you to know, but I guarantee you I know when I see it. Hey, there's music I don't listen to because I don't think the Lord wants me to listen to it. Can I say it's wrong? I can't give you for sure it's wrong, but I can tell you this. My spirit don't agree with that. There's things I won't wear. For everybody else's sake, amen? No, because the Lord don't want me wearing that. Hey. Hey. I'm okay with that. Anything for my Lord. It's not about Brother Brian's rules and Longview Baptist Church rules and Brother Russell's rules. No. No. It's about, pay attention, I love God enough that I'm going to do it for him. Hey, try that. I love God enough that I'm willing to follow the leadership he put in my life. Are you with me tonight? You understand? It's not about rules and regulations and boundaries and no. It'd be nice not to ever have to say that. If everybody walked in the Holy Spirit of God, we would never have to bring that stuff up. It would never be an issue. If everybody walked in the Spirit of God, if my youth department walked in the Spirit of God, if our parents in our youth department walked with the Spirit of God, there would never be an issue. You know why? I do it because I love God. I don't care what people say about me. Why? I don't belong to this world. I'm not getting in that closet of worldliness. I'm coming out for God. I'm coming out for God. When you separate to this world, you're in that spiritual closet. You're bound by the bondage that Paul was talking about there in Galatians. He said, you're entangled again in that bondage when you don't know how to separate from this world. See, God made it real clear in 1 John chapter 2. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Okay, that's a broad definition. But this is really, really precise and accurate right here. I mean, this was specific. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That means if you're not willing to detach from any worldly possession, heart problem. You're in the closet. No matter what the issue is, I don't feel like I need to be here for soul winning. Whatever. Ain't no preacher telling me what to do. Hey, listen. If you got that mentality, I can tell you already, you're in the closet. That's not the way God designed it. Here in conclusion, read this story and it really went along with the message the Lord had for me tonight. Some years ago, a Christian was riding in a train when two men entered the train car and took seat in front of him. One of the men in front of him took out a bottle and began to drink the contents of it, then passed it to his friend. And this was repeated a number of times. By and by, the men began to swear and cuss, and streams of profanity would come from their mouth. Meanwhile, the Christian in the car held his peace. But a war inside of his heart began to rage, and he said, Henry, those men belong to the devil. There's no doubt of that. And the old man said, hey, that's none of your business. You just take your trip. And the spirit began to tell him he's not ashamed of what he's doing, not a bit ashamed. And the old man said, it's not that you're ashamed, you just don't want confrontation. The spirit said, whom do you belong to? I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you sorry that you belong to him, or are you glad? He said, I'm very glad. Who in this car knows that that man belongs to the devil more than you at this point? Why, everybody knows that for he it's not really a secret. Who in this car knows that you belong to Jesus, though? And at this point, it is a secret. Immediately, he began to be pricked in his heart by the Holy Ghost of God and began to sing out loud, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. And begin singing the song. The singer hadn't concluded the song until the man across the way looked at him and upset and angry, and he said, what are you doing? He answered back, I'm singing. The man responded back, well, any fool can understand that. What are you singing? He said, I'm singing about the blood of my Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you need to quit. Quit what? Quit singing about your religion on these cars. There's more than just you here. He said, I guess so, but for the last half hour, you've been standing for your master. Now, for the next half hour, I'm going to stand for mine. You see, Esther had a struggle just like we do. She was faced with this fear of standing up for God. Hey, but Mordecai said, listen, Esther, listen. God puts you here for such a time as this. Can I tell you, Longview Baptist Church, God has put us here on the west side of Fort Worth. Teenagers, he put you here on the west side of Fort Worth in Longview Baptist Church for such a time as this. It's time to come out of the closet tonight. It's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it. If it is easy, these pews would be full. I don't want to be an average Christian. I don't want to be an above average Christian. I want to be a godly Christian. I want to be on fire for God. I want to see God move in my life in such a way that everybody knows. If that was Brother Russell, it wouldn't happen like that. It had to be God. And in spite of who you are, where you come from, what you look like, what you have, what you don't have, it's no reason ever hide in the closet. It's time to come out tonight. We all stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed, nice clothes.